Welcome back to Seeking Scale. Andy, welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah, I got back from the honeymoon over the weekend. We're recording on Wednesday, so I've been kind of back in the office the last few days, getting caught up on things. But yeah, it was a nice break.
Nice. So I assume the vacation part of it was great because like it sounds wonderful, like at the beach and all that kind of stuff. But you know, like work stuff, I know you were pretty unplugged for that time. Like everything with that went well?
Yeah. So honestly, I wasn't sure how unplugged I would be. I didn't want to have like day-to-day responsibilities. Didn't want to be doing meetings, calls, things like that. But it kind of just naturally fell into a pretty good rhythm where I'd check Slack a couple times. I didn't really have to do any of these things, but it just compulsively, I don't know, I just wanted to. And so I just kind of quickly looked through Slack, see if things were breaking. I think I sent a couple DMs, just like there was some partner stuff that came up, and a lot of that stuff just still lives in my head. So I was like, just message Matt, like, hey, like it might be this or that, but didn't really have any like synchronous conversations. It was just kind of a few messages, and it was like maybe an hour or two of stuff total, like over the 8 days. So definitely not much at all. And things went well. Like the only hiccup, so there was an issue. One of the updates that they pushed broke the partner integration. They got it fixed and it was fine. And so they handled that fine. And so I think like we just learned like going forward, let's just be more discipline about when we push updates that impact partners. Like only we're going forward, like I can talk about this too, but yeah, we're launching a new partner tomorrow. It's a very big one we're excited about, but like as these things ramp up, it's like we're just gonna pick a day. It's like Tuesday mornings when we have to release an update. That's when it's going to be. We'll communicate with the partners and we'll just be more deliberate about all that stuff rather than pushing it and not always telling them in advance and then that kind of stuff. But yeah, the only thing that really went wrong is like one of the product updates. I didn't do enough. Matt and I didn't have deep enough conversations about it before I had left. And so when I got back, there were some changes that need to be made that's going to require some refactoring, but like maybe cause a couple extra days of work. And so all in all, like pretty successful minor trip.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, and that's no real mistake on any of our parts. It's just, oh yeah, we should have talked a bit more about that, but not that big of a deal. So I'm really happy with how it went. And now it's just like, I put up the autoresponder and getting caught up a bit on things is like a little overwhelming, but it's fine. I think this time of year is just pretty slow anyway, so it should be good.
Yeah. Definitely hearing a lot of that, like, yeah, in the new year, right? And we're recording this right on the 7th or the 8th. Like it's, you know, oh my gosh, we have like 20 more days in the year. Like I can't believe we're just writing off 3 weeks, but I think everyone is. So that's
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it kind of like gives me the excuse just like, ah, like I'll get back to this stuff or like I can take my time with it. But I really am, yes, planning to spend the rest of this year getting, because I just feel like I've been behind on this stuff since before the honeymoon. And so just trying to get caught up on these things, even if they don't add a ton of value, it's going to be nice just to kind of start the new year with a more of a fresh slate. But I know you've got a big move coming up and some time off. So
yeah.
What's everything looking like there?
Yeah. So we're moving back to the US on Monday. So in 4 days, pretty excited, actually. Excited to get back to, you know, went home, I guess. And yeah, buying a house and all that stuff. So it's just like, it's a lot of logistical work, you know, like getting out of our place here and moving. And we have a dog and two cats and getting them, you know, transported and buying a car when we get there and insurance and all. It's just like, the last month has been just an enormous amount of work, mostly outside of work to get all that stuff organized. But like at this point, everything's done and everything is good. Like as long as I don't test positive for COVID on Sunday.
You guys are kind of in lockdown personally?
We are, yeah. Yeah. It was really sad. We had to tell our daughter that she can't go to a birthday party with all of her friends on Saturday because like pretty low risk that she would like get COVID and then test positive the next day. But like, we're like, look, just skip the party and see your friends after we get tested on Sunday.
Yeah.
Then like whatever happens, doesn't matter. So we talked about like, I'm taking time off at the end of the year. I'm taking the week between Christmas, New Year's, also taking Monday and Tuesday off. Monday, because we're just traveling all day. Tuesday, because we're closing on the house and doing all that stuff. And like, yeah, not planning on working at all. And, you know, to be really honest, like I really need it. You know, like the last month has been really stressful, in the last few months work-wise before that have been really stressful. So it'll be really nice to unplug a little bit, and then just a really cool personal time, you know, for me to be moving and buying a house again and all that kind of stuff. And then, like, you know, seeing my folks for Christmas and stuff like that when I'm taking that week off between Christmas and New Year's will be really cool. So looking very much forward to it. And I hope I can report that everything went as well as your time away did. It sounds like it's about as good as you could hope for.
If something were to go wrong, what do you think it would be?
I think it would be some kind of like communication or like some kind of some release of something, you know? Like we're planning a code freeze, so nothing should go out unless it's a bug fix. Marketing stuff, like I don't have oversight into that directly a lot. So I don't know that it would be that. Maybe just how folks handle edge cases of support or refund requests or something like that. But like, I can't imagine any of them being major, you know, that are, you know, kind of company killing. So but it was really helpful, like just asking myself that question a few weeks ago. And the answer is like, probably not much that would really go wrong that we couldn't recover from.
Have you had to do anything differently to get ready for this?
No, I mean, I wrote basically all of that up, you know, like criteria to call Craig in and like what you should do before you have to call Craig in like our company handbook in Notion, and talked to everyone about it in the team meeting last week. And it was cool. Yeah, everyone's super supportive. They're like, you haven't taken a week off in 4 years? And I was like, no. They're like, God damn. Like,
yeah, that's kind of how people were for me as well. And it was like the big thing. So we actually had a support person start on Monday. So I was back for that. And then we had a front end engineer join while I was gone. There wasn't much I was going to, like, I can't do much with the onboarding anyways. I probably would have just jumped on the initial call to kind of welcome him in and that sort of thing. But yeah, so just kind of making sure we had things in line for that. For support, it was more just cleaning up some SOPs. But yeah, it feels good to know that, yeah, there's a lot more we want to do to tighten things up a bit, but it's still at like a pretty good spot going into the end of the year.
Yeah. Your new developer, where did you hire them from?
Yeah, we went with Blue Coding again.
Yep.
That was how we found Eduardo. And with Eduardo, I think we worked with Blue Coding. We worked with Eduardo through Blue Coding for 6 months or so, and then bought out his contract, and now he just works directly with us. And Javier, yeah, was the one that started on Wednesday. And assuming it all goes well, we'll probably follow a similar structure there. So yeah, Blue Coding's been good to work with. I mean, I think everyone feels this in practically like every position. It's just hard to hire right now. So I think with Eduardo, a bit over a year ago, maybe almost two, and I think they found him much faster. It's like, they do technical screens on their own, and basically at the, like, you only talk to a candidate when they've been pretty well vetted at that point. And I think, yeah, we had maybe just a couple of weeks before we were talking with Eduardo. This time around, they like send the stats of how many people we've reached out to, how many technical screens we've had, how many have passed that. And it was, they reached out to a lot of people, disqualified a lot of people before the technical screen. I mean, it probably took a month or maybe even a little longer to get Javier, and rates have gone up as well. So far, so good. So we're still happy with it. But yeah, it just does seem like it's a bit harder to hire than it's been in the past.
Yeah, we're going to be looking at hiring a developer in the new year, and spoken with recruiters who are really expensive, but evidently like deliver really good folks. And it's just like, man, I can't, like, paying 20% of someone's salary is
that's
just
wild.
Crazy. So yeah, I mean, I think we will talk with Blue Coding, may talk to an agency. I know there's an agency out of Uruguay that I've talked to before, Light It, that they were really, really solid sounding and reasonably priced. And like, I used to be super anti-agency, but I mean, I think like they just get embedded as a regular team member now, and we just pay the agency instead of pay the person directly. So I'm less against it, just because, like we were talking about with like marketing agencies before off air, like it's certainty, you know, it's speed and certainty that like you can go to this agency and you pay $20 an hour extra and you get a really good developer that knows everything they're supposed to know and knows how to work on day one. And I don't have to spend 6 weeks interviewing people. So that's worth something.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely can see why it can make sense to hire a recruiter like internally, relatively early. Yeah. It's like, if you raise money, I think that'll be an early hire I would make, where it's not literally just a recruiter. They probably would help with some HR stuff in general, but definitely if you're in a growth phase. But then even not, like if you're at like 20 to 30 people and growing steadily, one, you're going to get some natural turnover in the, but like at that scale, you're going to be hiring enough where it probably does make sense to have a recruiter.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I've heard Rob say, is like a good first hire is like an HR person that is good at recruiting. You know, it used to be a recruiter and now wants to do HR.
Yeah. Because it's not even just getting it off of your plate. Obviously, that's a strong component of it, but it's just when it is so hard to find good people, if someone can do that better than you and that's their job, like that makes a massive impact on a company if you can just reliably recruit good talent.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, we talked about this before, and this is a tangent, but like really good people are so different than good people. You know, like really good people just take the whole world of this thing off your shoulders and yeah, do it so much better than I could, even with like my oversight and someone else, you know, implementing. But like a really good person just owns a thing and does it much better than I could ever, and I don't have to think about it. So yeah, it's no wonder that people like Google pay so much for really good people, is they understand that and they can do it.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's something that we're going to be grappling with in early January. It's like, obviously I'm going to kind of resume put the EA stuff on hold until January, but also I'm pretty committed to hiring a marketer. I need to get clearer on what that looks like, what their role would be, what experience they need, and just kind of who I'm looking for. But it's tough where, I mean, we haven't had a ton of luck with, we work remotely. I mean, we'll get leads, but I just frankly haven't been super impressed with what's coming through there. And yeah, I just feel like this is a hire I've put off for a very long time. I know I'm going to be it's going to be hard for me to make the hire, and I'm going to be looking for a unicorn. So I know in advance I need to kind of tone things down from that respect, but it's like, yeah, I just don't even know where to begin. It's like, we'll email our list, which has always been a good starting point, but that's the hard part. When you're finding good people, most good people are employed or doing their own thing or whatever it is. It's like you have to find the right person at the right time where they're looking for another opportunity or whatever it may be.
Yeah. 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 I mean, something that I've seen with marketing is just like specificity is really important. You know, it's like a developer. You don't just hire a developer, you hire a front end developer with JavaScript experience or whatever. And I think that a lot of us think that like sales and marketing is different and you just hire a marketer and they can do everything really well. But like, I think that like for us, want to like try to be really specific with what we're doing there. And maybe that would be helpful for you, is like, you're probably not going to find that unicorn. So like, if you find the person that's really good, at least at this one thing, and then can fill in around the edges with freelancers, or you helping up level them with courses or your own kind of guidance, stuff like that, like maybe that would help just make the selection process easier. You know, if you say like, we really need a person that's really strong at this, and just kind of focus on that and the rest of it be less important. I don't know, just a thought.
No, that's a good point. Cause I frankly like don't have a ton of clarity in my head of what exactly they would be doing. It's just painfully obvious to me that I'd need help on the marketing side of things. But yeah, I think I've talked about this trap a ton that I feel like a lot of us fall into, where it's like, as a founder, you're trying to hire someone to take all the things off of your plate. And even if you're like, all right, like I'm going to hire someone to take all of the marketing things off my plate, it's still like you're looking for one person to do all of the things, and it just doesn't work. And so, yeah, I need to get clear on what exactly they would be doing.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that would be right now.
Writing the job posting is helpful in that respect, right? Like that helps you kind of focus in on that.
Yeah, because you've been at least talking to agencies, you've been thinking about, you're looking for marketing help. What are you going through as you debate agency versus in-house? What are the questions you're asking? How are you evaluating that decision?
Yeah, I mean, so like generally, I really like to hire people in-house just because it's the like expression my old boss used to say is like, I want you to wake up every day and think about this thing and not like your seven other clients or anything like that. And so like that's really nice. But the trouble, I think, when it comes to marketing specifically is like, no one is really good at everything. And so you're going to hire a person that's good at a thing. And maybe you have the kind of foresight to hire a person that's good at the thing you really need, you know? But like with an agency, you as an account might work with five or six different people if it's like a full service marketing agency, and they have professional copywriters and conversion optimization people and technical SEO folks and stuff like that. And so like that, to me, that's just what you get with an agency is like, an agency or a consultant is just like that specificity. And kind of like what we were talking about with like hiring developers from an agency is like, they're going to come in and be good on the first day. Like the chances of hiring a bad agency, if you go with like one of the really good ones, is pretty low. And so that I don't have an answer. I mean, what we will do is kind of add to our marketing efforts with either an agency or a consultant, but probably not a full-time person, because I think it's pretty clear what we need help with. You know, we need help with everything, but like we need most help with like these couple of things that like, if we can do that, then it unlocks a whole bunch of other things just in terms of cash flow and ability to hire a full-time person to focus on them. Once we prove that like a little bit of effort shows this result, then like a whole bunch more effort on this thing could show even more maybe. So it's almost kind of like a test, you know?
Right. I'm even just like looking over Notion right now, just trying to figure out like, what are the things that I would want help with?
Something I heard David Cancel say a while back, and I just haven't had the discipline to do this, is like when he's hiring a person, the first thing he does is write like the 90-day game plan for them. Like at 90 days, you will have done X, Y, and Z. And then like when the person is hired, you show that to them and say in the first 90 days, you're going to do X, Y, and Z. But that's also then the job posting, you know? So like think about the outcomes you want to see from this person and kind of work backwards from there.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, this is going to be some of my homework is to get clear on this and we'll see. Yeah. So guys, I think this, it's just a very important hire for us to make and want to get it right. But I think, yeah, I'm just, again, falling in that trap of just thinking I can find someone to do everything I have on this page in Notion, which is not realistic.
Right.
Yeah. What else has been new with you guys?
Man, just about the only other thing is, I think we talked about this two episodes maybe ago, is like I've been working on the business a lot more lately, and that's been really cool. One of the kind of outcomes of that is, you know, the next quarter is coming up, and so we're planning OKRs again. So far, at least, you know, we're 75% of the way through this quarter. The OKR process has gone really well, I feel like, from a company perspective. Like we have some things we've learned and some tweaks, and the specific thing that like we've learned / struggled with is like how we report on them and learn as we go, you know, because like the way it's supposed to go is like you have your OKRs and every Monday for us, we have a team meeting and we talk about them and we just kind of talk about them. And there's not as much like, okay, well, you know, you're 70% of the way there and we're 80% of the way through the quarter. What's it going to take in the next 3 weeks to bring this home? Like we haven't done as much of that. And I think it's kind of just challenging to talk about that in a group setting. So I don't have an answer, but that's something that we're struggling just in terms of implementing OKRs is like the vision and they're set and communicate that. That's all great. And then the idea is you check in on them regularly and, you know, minor course correct to kind of stay on track. And I think that part of it we've struggled with. So looking at how we can do differently there. And at the same time, like we intentionally only had like one set of OKRs for the whole company. So we have like an objective and then like three key results for the company. In the next quarter, we're going to have that. And then each kind of group within the company is going to have their own set of OKRs. So this is pretty cool. So I had a chat with them yesterday about kind of what the OKRs for the company are going to be for the next quarter, my proposal for them at least. And then this is where it is quite different this quarter is they then take those and then create their own set of OKRs to support that key result that they're responsible for. So say one of them is marketing to bring in 20 new leads a week. And then Sam is going to go back and say, okay, I need to achieve this. What are the steps I need to take to get there? What are the kind of sub milestones that will put me on the path to achieving that? And so it'll be cool. So I've asked everyone to kind of start putting that together and we'll have a chat about it here in the next few weeks.
What was the reasoning again for going with OKRs versus Traction, like EOS or other systems?
It's the same. I mean, it really is. Yeah. It really is. At this point, there are certain things about rocks, the concept of rocks that I like, but I don't even think I could tell you the difference.
Yeah, because I think this is stuff that I resist process and just following things that other people make. I try to reinvent it all myself and it's just stupid. I'm not going to create a business management system that's better than one of those other ones. And so I do think, yeah, next year we should implement something. But I think the benefit of EOS, Entrepreneurial Operating System, which is in the book called Traction, is that it seems more holistic and more all-encompassing than OKRs in the sense that, yeah, they talk about goal setting through rocks, but then they have their meeting cadence and then they have how the meeting should be run. And I feel like it's more plug and play. And there are downsides to that where it's it can be too prescriptive, but the upside is that it's just less to figure out. I feel like we can just follow it and it probably makes sense for us to just do that. Cause that's gotta be better than what we're doing now, which is a bit of everything.
And nothing so, at the same time, right?
Yeah. Because I just feel like I can see myself getting where we already are is okay, well, these are the meetings we're going to have. I'll make some slight tweaks to how we do them, but it's not it doesn't tie together to how we actually track progress on things or what we're, all these. It's just I'm just doing each bit by bit rather than thinking about it as a system. And I think that's holding us back and I should just lean on the work that's already been done by other people.
Yeah. And but folks who haven't read Traction, it's a really great book. It's one of the few actual physical books that I own and it's getting moved. Yeah, it's great. It's great. Actually, I think I have it on Kindle and physical and Audible. So yeah, drink Kool-Aid. OKRs is different that there's not a system, there's not an OKR, a definitive OKR book. There's several out there. And I agree that it's not as much prescriptive around how you run the meetings and how you do the check-ins. And maybe that's why we've struggled with it. But
yeah, that was just what made me think about it a bit, is that it seems more, I get the concept of OKRs, but then it's all right, now I got to figure out how to plug this in everything else that we're doing. Whereas that is the benefit of EOS, is that it gives you the operating system for the business. And I think, yeah, it's just when we're working on the business, I feel like there are best practices where we can just steal this and plug it into our business. And sometimes it can be, we can resist that for whatever reason. But yeah, I think that's something I need to work on, is just, again, don't try to reinvent the wheel.
And there's a lot of room to run with those, right? They're really, really $10 million, $100 million businesses that run the same exact, management system, I'll call it, as we do, or that you're talking about running. It's super scalable. I think that to kind of abstract away the problem, and I'll be curious to hear how you kind of face this, is the challenge is just that it's not always great. The report on the OKR or the rock is not always, we're killing it. And so then how do you have a constructive discussion with 14 other people in the room, or on Zoom, and not have someone feel bad and it be productive, and you're not boring everyone else. That's just the whole, those are the things that stretch me in different directions when it comes to how we really address what's going on with these weekly meetings. And then it makes, if you don't do that, then it makes the weekly meeting super lame, because you're okay, Sam, how's the OKR going? Okay, right. We're 70%. Okay, great. Okay. And literally that's it some weeks. And I'm just what the fuck did we just do? this is wasting everyone's time. And I think it's obvious to the team. And I know a lot of them listen to the show, and I'm sorry, y'all, but I do think we're it's good. And whether it's OKRs or something else, I think you're going to struggle, not you, but people struggle with that ability to clearly address issues in a genuine and non-threatening way, because you can come off as a jerk, and that's obviously not what any of us want, but you also can't be super passive, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, that's honestly something that led me to make some changes to our meetings, because it used to be the full team, but then it's like, all right, we're not going to dig into any of the issues too much, because then it's going to be an hour plus meeting. And when we troubleshoot some blocker for one of the devs, it's not relevant to anyone else on the call. And so that was why we just split it up into we do an all hands. That's the only on Thursdays. That's the only call that has the entire team on it. And it's more just casual, kind of have people show what they've been working on, talk about big announcements, things like that. But the teams meet individually to kind of break all that down. And to me, that's sort of what the appeal of EOS is that it's been a while since I've read it, but I do think they kind of give you plays like, these are the meetings that should be about resolving the issues, not these ones. And they just are very prescriptive about it, which I think is helpful. And so that's something I've got to do, because again, it's like, I can go through the trial and error process of, all right, let's start with these meetings with everyone. Oh, this isn't working. Let's try this. And it's like, well, just stop fucking around. just do what this book says. And it's the same thing with like delegation, where I'm like, I need to be okay with 80% of that. And it's like, it's not as though EOS or OKRs or something is going to be 80% as good as what we're doing now. It'll be better. But it's more just like, I know there are going to be parts to it that I don't like. And rather than just throwing out the whole system because of that, I think I just got to accept that. Like, it's still going to be an improvement. But it's just spinning wheels. And it's easy to get into that spot where it's, again, we're doing the high value stuff. We're working on the business. But it's like, a lot of people have already worked in these things too. So let's just leverage what they've done.
Right, right. And it's the kind of thing where like you start and it's not perfect and you iterate from there. It's just better to put something in place and get that 80% and then learn how it actually is in reality in your business, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, lots to figure out. I think we both have a good amount to get to as we wrap up the year. Maybe next week or one of these weeks before the end of the year, we can kind of go over a summary of what's happening and where to next. But we'll be good to kind of summarize everything and talk about plans from here. But there's a lot of exciting stuff coming, I think, for both
absolutely.
Of us.
Absolutely. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you have any questions or comments or suggestions for Andy or I, shoot us a message, podcast@seekingscale.com. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, everybody. See ya.